Chris, how were Tim and Sid? How were they? Were they nice?
Yeah, they were great to me, man. They looked out for me, so it was good.
You need to be looked out for. Where are you? What's going on?
I am in the press box at the Little Caesars Arena in Detroit.
Detroit's not very good, are they? That's interesting. So the great circus that is the Leafs offense wheels into Detroit, where the mood is what?
Apprehensive, I would say. You know, a lot of questions, and not from Toronto media to the Red Wings today about what they're going to get from the Leafs, and we'll see. The Toronto scored 7 goals in each of the last 2 games, but sometimes puck luck and that comes and goes, and maybe it won't be quite so bad tonight. But a lot of the big storyline actually in Detroit, which I wouldn't have had no idea about, is they've covered over all the red seats in the lower bowl of their stadium because they showed up so much, how empty they were on TV. So they've covered them all black, and so that was one of the other storylines kind of kicking around the local media here today.
Yeah, it has been a lot of winning there, and all of a sudden, not much winning since. I wonder if you've come across some interesting conversation there in terms of what Ken Holland's future might hold, and of course, all this, the rumor mill sort of got started when Steve Yzerman resigned, or at least stepped back from his post in Tampa, I want to say the week of Labor Day.
Yeah, not too much about Steve Yzerman here right now, but certainly a lot of talk about the rebuild and those sorts of things. I think that the Red Wings actually have started to do a decent job. It made a whole bunch of picks the last draft or so and have some more coming. So, I think that they're in the early stages of refilling their pipeline and moving on. But, they're still kind of in that awkward point where Henrik Zetterberg just stepped away. Nicholas Cronwall is in his last season. He'll play tonight, his season debut. But, kind of like the last of the players that were from their most recent set of glory years are transitioning out. And I don't think they have enough in now to sort of fill their spot. And in that sort of context, you have a GM who's been here going back two glory years, 2 glory sets ago. Ken Holland's been on the job so long. So, it is kind of an interesting point in their development right now. But, the fact that Ken Holland earned a contract after last year, I think that he'll be here kind of as long as he wants to. We'll see how it goes. He's getting on in age, and I would guess that we're talking about someone who, when the end does arrive, probably won't be fired. It'll probably be a mutual type of decision. I think he has that kind of relationship with ownership. In this case, now the Illich's kids, Mr. Illich having died now. But, at this point, they just sort of are in one of those in-between years where, I think everyone recognizes they need to make more picks. Might be in a situation later where they're trading some of their established players out to achieve that aim. And, they're having trouble selling tickets in their own market as a result.
Busy night on the Sportsnet family of stations. Of course, Sportsnet Flames will have the Flames and the Blues tonight, which, of course, we'll have our pregame for in about 34 minutes. Canucks at Lightning, just the second game of the season for Tampa. They, Florida, New Jersey, and Edmonton have been sitting around twiddling their thumbs, not playing hockey for some time. Vegas is in Pittsburgh after a very ho-hum start for the Knights, and it seems like good news around Matt Murray's health in Pittsburgh, and the Oilers are in Boston, where that top line continues to hum. What would you like to expand on that four-game front that we'll find on our television sets in Calgary tonight?
Well, why don't we talk about the Oilers? Because, I find the start to their season pretty fascinating. The fact that they only had the one game over there in Sweden so far and now find themselves in Boston and with a couple of tough games beyond that to play on the road before going home. I mean, I think for an organization at their stage where clearly, both management and coaching staff and some of the veteran players are under the gun to, show that last year was just a blip and that they can move beyond that pretty quickly. This is not the ideal way to start their year. Having gone to Germany for an exhibition game before that game in Sweden, I mean, it's basically almost a 2.5-week, 3-week road trip to start the season and a bunch of difficult opponents along the way. So, I'll be very interested to see how they look tonight in Boston, after not playing so well in Sweden and the loss to New Jersey there on the weekend. So, to me, that's a team that already, I mean, you try not to overreact to what happens early on in the year because it is such a long season, but I do think they're under some pressure to get some wins here before coming home for their home opener.
Chris Johnson joins us. He is Sportsnet.ca's senior NHL writer, and of course you can find him on Hockey Night in Canada and other Sportsnet hockey broadcasts. If the Oilers get off to the worst October in the NHL, which maybe they win four in a row here, I just think everyone's waiting for something bad to happen so that people can get fired or for them to return to playoff status. And I don't know that last year was the aberration. You've got a huge sample, and they've made the playoffs once in 12 years. That might be the aberration more than last year, especially when they've divested themselves of talent in a few lopsided deals. Do you see sweeping changes in Edmonton in, say, a month if they're last in the Pacific by a bit?
You know, I don't think you can rule it out. The tough thing that you have there is they replaced all the assistant coaches over the summer. So really what we'd be looking at is Todd McClellan or, you know, perhaps if they made a move in the front office, although you don't tend to see general managers fired mid-season too often. So, you know, to me, they've played most of the hand they can play other than potentially switching up the head coach. And you know, I don't know what it will take to do that, but, you know, you just know that the patience in that market has been tested, you know, pretty severely to this point. And I do feel as though they have to have a strong year this year. They have to be in the playoff conversation. It can't be, you know, down near the bottom of the standings as they were throughout much of last year. And you're right. I don't know that I would say that last year was an aberration the way it went. But certainly getting a little better goaltending this year could take them a long way. You know, they do have a different feel about them. But, you know, this, I am certain, is not the start to the year they wanted, having to kind of go here, there, and everywhere and be on the road. I know everyone has tough stretches of their schedule. You know, every team faces that. But to get it out of the gate only sort of exacerbates what the Oilers are having, the challenge they're facing. And, you know, I don't think that you can really rule out too many changes other than the fact that Connor McDavid's going to continue to be their captain and their ice time leader among forwards. But beyond that, I think, you know, pretty much anything can be on the table.
Yeah, no question. Let us move. The Pittsburgh Penguins got Matt Murray on the ice today. He stayed late, took shots, a rather regular participant. That's got to be great news for an organization that has some young guys, but certainly not a proven NHL backup. A long absence there could have been a real tough blow in that Metro division.
Exactly. And, you know, look, we still don't know when he's going to play, but the fact that he was symptom-free for a couple days and able to get out and take some shots is an encouraging sign that, you know, this isn't going to be an absence that stretches on weeks or anything of that nature. And look, I mean, at the extreme end, you've had Corey Crawford, the Blackhawks starter, hasn't played in 9 months due to a concussion issue. So, you know, it's possible sometimes that these things can really change, you know, what happens around your team. So, you know, given Matt Murray's history and thoughts that maybe they might have to look elsewhere for goaltending, I think it is a hugely encouraging sign to see him on the ice. And you know, he's an important part of that team. I mean, other than the big guys that have won all the cups, I mean, he's a lot's put on his shoulders there. And you're only reminded of that when they face Vegas, as they are tonight, with, you know, Marc-Andre Fleury back in the building, although he'll be backing up, it sounds like, for the Golden Knights in this game. But, you know, that was the choice they faced a couple years ago, and they picked Murray. And while I think it made sense, given the gap in ages between Murray and Fleury, if Murray's health is an issue that affects his ability to play, you know, that'll be sort of something that the people around the Penguins will look back upon as we go forward here.
Yeah, although Marc-Andre Fleury hasn't been good, at least to start this year. It's a wild 2.5 years when you look back. Two seasons ago, a goals against above .300. Last year, Vezina-type numbers with some injuries mixed in. And then a rough start this year. I love talking and watching hockey this time of year, but boy, they're tiny samples. One win in four games does not mean the sky is falling for Vegas, but I do start to wonder about that belief, because they aren't the chip on the shoulder group anymore, and everyone thought they had them figured out last year and they were dead wrong. Maybe we all had them pegged as playoff team this year and we're all dead wrong again.
Well, and maybe I think it's just yet one more thing to underline how funny hockey can be as a sport, and how, you know, things can change pretty quickly for players, and in this case, a team. You know, I still think that Vegas should be pretty good. You look at, you know, that top line had all kinds of success with them last year, you know, even right through the playoffs in addition to the regular season. So you're looking at over 100 games where we saw, you know, Marchessault and Smith help carry that team now they've added Max Pacioretty, Stastny as their second line center, in addition to everyone else. I mean, to me, that still is the makeup of a top six of a team that should be really good. And you know, it hasn't happened yet to start this year. But, you know, I'm not prepared myself to write them off. And, you know, there is so much danger at the start of the year. I mean, both good and bad. You see, you know, maybe some player get off to a crazy statistical start, and people are talking, well, is so-and-so going to be in the Hart Trophy conversation or Norris Trophy conversation, what have you. And I think you can go too far the other way. But, you know, for Vegas, it's a tough, you know, situation to play back-to-back in Washington and then now in Pittsburgh tonight. Especially with where they began, and I have noted coming out of the dressing room, there's been some pretty strong quotes about not being happy with where they're at. So, you know, I still think to me that they're going to be in the playoff mix, but it can be hard to get out of too big a hole early in the season. Then, you know, they'll look to avoid doing that with a big game tonight in Pitt.
You talk about hot starts, statistically unsustainable. Auston Matthews has scored on every other shot he's put on net. That is 50%, or about four times what common NHLers shoot at. Now, he's got a great shot, and it's a great start, but we're not going to see someone score 170 goals, whatever the math would say. But that said, they play four games early. McDavid's only played once in the first 8 days of the NHL schedule, and it doesn't hurt that it's in the biggest media market in the NHL. This has not been missed, safe to say, that Auston Matthews is off to a good start.
No, and unfortunately I contribute to that too, so I can't take any arrows at my other colleagues in Toronto. But, you know, look, he's the best player on the Leafs, and they got off to a pretty good start, and he's scored in every single game so far. So it would be hard to miss that start. I think it's premature for those that really want to get into the debate about, you know, could he pass McDavid as the best player in the game, you know, the consensus best player in the game. I guess he could at some point. You know, I certainly don't think it's beyond his skill set, but he's not there yet. I mean, McDavid's won the last two scoring titles, a Hart Trophy. You know, I think even still, you know, no matter what we think of the Oilers this season, I don't think anyone would be surprised if he won the scoring title again and by a fairly significant margin. So, you know, Auston still has a ways to go till he's truly in that conversation for me. But, you know, the start has been nice for him and for the Leafs. I think that after the signing of Tavares in the summer, there was, you know, a little bit of hope and expectation around that team, or a lot. And, you know, it's just easy to put some of those things at rest, or the potential of a storyline taking on a life of its own by struggling early. I think you'd rather this than not. But, yes, we won't be going far on a limb to suggest his current pace is unsustainable. And if anything, only 14 shots through four games for him historically. That's actually low, but he scored seven goals, so it's not getting much attention.
Last one for you. What are the St. Louis Blues, and where do you have them pegged? I've seen both sides of the spectrum. I have seen some, including Dom Lachishin from The Athletic, who has panned them pretty hard and has them pegged to finish near the bottom of the Central Division. Others see them as a cup contender in one of the toughest divisions in hockey. Where are you on the Blues?
Well, I think that they're going to be a contender in their division. I'm not sure. They're certainly not in my top level tier of cup contenders, but probably the next one below that. And I don't see really a huge fall off of them. You know, what I'm curious, kind of as the year goes along here, is if they stick with Jake Allen in net, or maybe try to make a move to bring in another goaltender. He's a little bit of an X factor for me, and you know, he obviously has had some struggles at various points, and, you know, wondering if Sergei Bobrovsky, if the Blue Jackets look to move him this year, if perhaps there could be a fit there. You know, it's way too premature at this point to say if that could happen, but I certainly see it as a potential fit. You know, should the Blues remain where I think they'll be, you know, firmly in the playoff mix and looking to upgrade at that position. So, you know, they made some changes. They really felt over the summer that some of the players that have been there for a long time, that it was best to move on from them. They had a lot of cracks with guys like Patrick Berglund on their roster, or Vladimir Sobotka, you know, some of the guys they traded away as part of the Ryan O'Reilly deal. And, you know, I think that those new guys have brought in a breath of fresh air. So, you know, with the way their blue line's constructed, I think Paul Parayko is a fantastic player. Obviously, Alex Pietrangelo there. And you know, they've got a pretty good offensive weapon still with Tarasenko. You know, adding an O'Reilly, you know, to me that should be a team that comfortably is in the playoffs. But we'll see, because the goaltender is very up and down. And, you know, as we talked about with Fleury and some other guys, it's hard to know from year to year what you're going to get out of your goalie. There's only a few that are at the top level every single season. So, you know, they're a good team, and I think that you'll see when the Flames play them that will be a strong test there tonight.
Yeah, I just the goaltending kills you, and it's just the one position in the sport where you want to know what you're going to get, and you just don't with Jake Allen. That doesn't mean he's going to be bad. It means sometimes he can, you know, single-handedly win a playoff series like he did against the Minnesota Wild, I want to say 2-3 years ago, where he was just absolutely a wall. But, I mean, I'd rather have Ben Bishop. I'd rather have Devan Dubnyk. And I probably would rather have the tandem they've got in Colorado. And all of a sudden, we haven't even talked about Nashville and Winnipeg yet. Those are all divisional rivals in what's got to be the toughest division in hockey.
Yeah, that's a murderer's row, when you put it that way. There's not really a bad team out of that mix, I wouldn't think. And look, until I see the Blues fall back greatly, I don't see it yet. Even with Sean Dong's prediction, but I still think that there's enough experience and you know, high quality players there that. That should be a playoff team.
All right, great stuff. What are you working on for the weekend?
I don't know just yet. I got tomorrow to burn my phone up, I think. So you'll have to stick around and see.
That's always fun, hey? I got to come up with something. The show's tomorrow. All right, we'll catch up on Tuesday.
It's like being back in public school, man. You got to sometimes cram a little bit. So I've still got 48 hours.
Great stuff. Enjoy the game in Detroit. And by the way, you can get out of that press box. Sounds like there's some seats you could slide into. They won't even notice.
Okay, Ryan. Thanks, pal.
See ya.